feeling disconnected trying to offer just the right amount of support for your adult children as they make their own way in the world? Caring for aging parents who now need you in new ways while wondering where your own dreams fit in? You are not alone. I get it. Midlife can be a whirlwind of emotions, leaving you wondering how to rediscover your own purpose and how to reconnect with the important people in your life and in your relationship with God. Hi, I'm Jenny, a life coach for midlife Catholic moms just like you. On this podcast, we navigate the exciting yet sometimes overwhelming journey of midlife together. Join me each week for insightful conversations, practical tips, and Holy Spirit-filled inspiration to help you embrace this new chapter of life with joy and purpose. Hey friends, I'm Jenny Gwynn, and this is Catholic Moms in the Middle. I am here today with my friend Lindy Nguyen. She is the creator and the host of the podcast Mamas in Spirit. And I've known Lindy, gosh, for a couple of years now. And when we get together, I think we can talk for hours and hours. And so Lindy and I are going to talk about midlife. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about children. We're going to talk about lots of great things today. So welcome, Lindy.
Thank you so much, Jenny. It's a blessing to be with you and your listeners. And hopefully we won't talk for hours and hours.
That's right. Yes, we'll keep it short for you all today. But Lindy, tell us a little about you, and I know that you're new to the Middle Tennessee area. Tell us about your journey to get here.
Yes, well, it came from a lot of prayer during the pandemic. Sorry to remind everyone about that. But during it, we were highly quarantined because my husband's immunocompromised. And we just started praying and dreaming. We actually went away into a cabin for a month. We were living in California at the time, and we went into the mountains. And we realized while we were there, we're like, wow, maybe God is really calling us to dream a different lifestyle and is calling our hearts somewhere else. And so we started having all these heartfelt conversations with people across the country, and we kept getting drawn to Franklin, Tennessee. Even when I talked to somebody that was in Arkansas, she's like, where else are you looking? And I was like, Franklin, Tennessee. And she's like, I grew up there. I love it. That's like the most wonderful place. So God made it very clear. We took an RV trip for a month. It was not the most fun RV trip I've ever taken in the middle of the pandemic, the three of us in the RV. Yet we did make wonderful memories, and God made it very clear that we were called to move to Franklin, Tennessee. So we did, and praise God, it's almost been 3 years, because every year does feel like a great accomplishment in the Lord, because we left a lot of people that we love, a lot of family that we love, and really familiarity. Mm-hmm. We dove into ambiguity and the unknown because it was clear that that's where God was calling us. And I have to say, we have been sharpened and chiseled so much in these years, and we have been blessed with phenomenal human beings like you, Jenny. And I know we have a lot of friends in common as well. And so God has been so generous and faithful and good to us as we have created this new life in Tennessee.
It's amazing. So Lindy, I'm a native Nashvillean. So when I hear about all of these people who God told to come to this area, to move here, first of all, this would be another podcast, but I believe that this area it's becoming some sort of mecca for God, that God's going to use the people in this area. But I also look at you, and I am so full of admiration, being a native Nashvillean and being within 5 minutes my sisters and aunts and cousins and my parents living with us. I can't imagine picking up and leaving all that familiar behind. So lots of admiration for that and for listening to God's call, because I think I would be like, well, you can ask me to do anything else, but God, we're staying put. As you made the move, what's been the most difficult part of the transition?
Well, it's really interesting because part of it is so beautiful. I literally felt like I was picked up and dropped in another movie. Like if anybody's ever seen any of those movies where someone wakes up and they're in an entirely different world, that's what I felt like. And we also moved on to, I will say, a little bit of land, because my husband and I, we have a very real marriage. I say we moved on to land, and he's like, this is not really land. This is 6 acres. I'm like, that's land. when you come, for any of you who knows what it looks like, well, even in Nashville, right. And when the houses are right next to each other. So I wake up and I'm like, there's Bambi and where are the other human?
Right.
So I would say just the shock of that. I've learned a lot psychologically about myself and really all of our vulnerabilities and dependence on God and one another to even like process through the things that we experience. So being on land in a brand new state after living my entire life in California, I would say has been very different and has been a very significant transition, albeit so glorious. Like I feel like we live in a retreat center.
Right.
So it's a great gift. It's just, it's dynamic, just like life. There's layers to it.
Absolutely. What have you learned about yourself?
Oh my goodness, Jenny Gwen. What have I learned about myself? I've learned that I am dependent on the people that I'm closest to, as well as new people in my life. And that's been a really beautiful lesson. For those of you who don't know, we are an adoptive family and we adopted our first two children from foster care, their biological siblings, and then our youngest in a private adoption. And my husband has also had a chronic illness. And so much, I would say, of our first really two decades of marriage, we've been married for 23 years, I felt like I was caring a lot with the Lord. I discovered God as a young child and really felt full dependency on God most all of my life since I really discovered God. Praise God, because that relationship has been so intimate and I've known that dependency. Yet I'm sure a lot of moms that listen to your show, Jenny, can understand that we carry a lot. And I think I felt like I carried a lot. I was carrying kids through IEP meetings, for those of you who have kids with special needs, and to advocate for them to get all the resources under the sun, including ones for mental health, navigating adoption and all the things, navigating the ins and outs of having a husband who's sometimes healthy and sometimes really not, and sometimes even struggling to survive, just dependent on what the season was. So I felt like I carried a lot. I'm sorry to say, I think I probably felt like I was pretty capable. And then I, not in like a super prideful way, although of course I have pridefulness that I work with, like all of us, like
sure.
We all have all the theme, but just in a way. And then when we moved to Tennessee, I think I felt very vulnerable. I think I felt super duper vulnerable. And then also in midlife, we have all the things. I hope that there's mostly women listening, like hormonal changes sure. and all the things. So it's been a lot. And we also have transitioned a child with special needs in young adulthood across the country and just transitioned her into independent living about 2.5 months ago, which for anybody who's transitioned a child into adulthood, whether that child has special needs or not, that's significant. Yet with special needs, there's other vulnerabilities and layers there. So I really learned my need for my husband and for his mercy and generosity with my lack of gracefulness at times. And my own struggle and my own, I don't know if any of you ever get foggy. Like some days I felt foggy, like, oh my goodness, like, where am I? And what, like just that kind of feeling, that fuzzy, which I'm sure none of us enjoy, yet it is a part of life. And so I'd say him, but then I also say my sisters in Christ, like, and my neighbors. We've been blessed with beautiful neighbors here in Tennessee. Praise God. Cause we had beautiful neighbors in California, and having them has been awesome. Like when I got my first tick bite and I went to my 75-year-old neighbor, Shar, and was like, save me, I'm going to die. And then also Sisters in Christ. I went on Women's Christio right away. Beautiful, beautiful table. Shout out to my table, Margaret Mary. St. Margaret Mary, like Sisters in Christ. And those have just multiplied. And so to be able to be raw and honest and authentic and just say like, I'm struggling with this or this is hard, and to be touched by the love of Christ through all these people has been really amazing.
Amen. You know, I always tell women when I'm coaching and the issues from midlife come up, whether it's transition or navigating relationships with adult children or their spouses or aging parents, that midlife is definitely not for the faint at heart. You know, midlife, you're like, oh, midlife, freedom, the kids are gone. But really midlife is like becoming a parent. You have all the transitions and adapting to what that role looks like and how to navigate it. Midlife is the same way. And I think it's interesting because midlife is also a time to look back, to reflect, to like beat yourself up about the past or mistakes you've made, but to look back and reflect on the person you've become, the mom that you've become, the mom that you are, and the mom that you were to your children as they were growing up. And as I look back, I think there were so many times that I felt like I had to control everything. And I recently heard that for women, having this like spirit of control is actually the sin of Eve. I had never heard it referred to that before. Thought like, oh my gosh, like, yes, there is like a root to this. And having to control, not necessarily like in a bad way, but thinking like, I have to make sure everybody's okay and this is taken care of and I have to make the cookies for the bake sale and, you know, my kids have to have everything. And so I think midlife for me was an opportunity to be like, I don't have to do it. I can let go. It was a point where I was like, I don't need to keep up with the Joneses. I don't even know who the Joneses are or care about the Joneses. And so it was also an opportunity to ask for help and not necessarily like, hey, can you run carpool this day? Or can my kids come to your house after school? An opportunity to look at my sisters in Christ and ask for help, like for prayer or can I talk to you? Or just these genuine connections of I'm struggling in this area and can you help me?
Yes. And I've experienced that we fortify one another.
Yeah.
Like it's really interesting. Even in the last few days, a couple dear girlfriends here have shared with me from their heart things that they're struggling with. And these things, one of them was really, really serious. And they're always concerned about, I don't want to dump on you. Like, I don't want to bring you down. And what I tell them is, you are helping me to know that I am not alone. And you are blessing me with a confidence of your heart. There's like no greater honor than to be able to listen to you. And it is blessing my soul. Like it blesses me to have this communion with you and to walk with you. And I do the same with you. And at times that's been hard for me too, because for a similar reason that, and also that feeling of safety, like, okay, who are these relationships that we can really dig in with each other and be this fully authentic and real with?
Right.
And I think that that's where true freedom comes. And Jenny, that's so beautiful. That's what you're doing here with your podcast is a totally authentic conversation. And that's been big for me. Like even within Mamas in Spirit, the podcast that I do, one of the biggest prayers in my heart is to be totally myself in all of the things I do that are more public. Because I want someone when they meet me or they spend time with me personally or publicly to know that they are spending time with exactly the same person and that I'm living a real life just like you. And by you being fully alive, who you're called to be without us ever comparing ourselves to one another, independently made, crafted, molded by God, all women, for everyone listening, like we're all molded and shaped by God uniquely and called uniquely into this world to fulfill our personal calls by God. And so when we do that, we fortify one another. And I'm sure you experience that with Moms in the Middle. And I experienced that through Mamas in Spirit as all these different women come on and just hearing from their hearts and from their souls and that sharing, it's fortifying. And I guess there is that gift of Emmanuel, God with us, because there's that sense of not being alone, but that God has created us really to have relationships like Mary and Elizabeth and to enjoy and be in joy with one another.
I agree. One of the calling cards of the enemy is isolation. And so many times when I talk to women, when we're coaching, they come to me feeling like they are on an island by themselves, that nobody can understand what they're going through. Nobody else has the struggle or the difficulty that they're facing. And so one of the things that I always try to instill in them is that they're not alone. There are so many people out there struggling with what they're going through. We just don't always voice. We're just not always asking for help. But letting women know that they're not alone. And like you said, building this community and having a community of women, identifying the people that you can trust and that you feel connected to through their faith or just watching them is so, so important. I'm just curious, why do you think it's so hard for women sometimes to ask for help?
Maybe we don't have the divine model really planted, imprinted in our hearts and our souls. And maybe too, because of woundedness, times that we've been hurt, because something that came to me when you were talking is being left out doesn't mean that we need to be isolated, meaning this. I'm going to share a quick story. So when Brian and I moved first to a different area of California than we had been living, we had just adopted our children with special needs, and our oldest had high behavioral needs, like high off the chart behavioral needs for those moms out there that are dealing with it. And so our daughter, our number two, was in Indian Princesses with Daddy. And on one of the nights that they were all gathering, I was with our son. And on other times that they had gotten together for Indian Princesses, the moms had gone out with the older children. This night we didn't receive an invitation. And I had just this pit in my stomach of loneliness and sadness. And I had this sense that we had been left out. And by the way, I lived very close with these other moms. One was even in great proximity to me, that we carpooled to school together. So literally our son wanted to go to McDonald's. So I took him to McDonald's and we're sitting there and he's just as jolly as could be eating his happy meal. And I have this feeling of utter sadness in my stomach of being left out. Because any of you out there who have kids who have unique needs that way, or special needs or mental illness or addiction or all the things, it can be a very lonely path and it can be a very intense path. And so to be left out only compounds that feeling. So the next morning we went to go to school in carpool, and sure enough, one of the kids shared that they'd all gotten together and that we weren't invited.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I learned, God healed that so much and so well. Because when I found that out that day, I went home and I cried.
Sure.
Like, that really hurt my heart big time. I mean, these were supposedly my friends. And that's where I think we have to choose our friends wisely.
Sure.
And there are certain values and characteristics that are critical in friendships to have a healthy friendship. That really taught me to choose my friends wisely. Praise God. And it also taught me that we all are left out at times and we all feel left out at times. But that does not mean that we're not left out by God ever. We are never. We always have a place with the Lord, and our Blessed Mother always has a place for us in her mantle. And there are beautiful, beautiful women who are just waiting for friendships too and looking for friendships too. And so I think that when we can learn to take risks, regardless of how we feel, and open our hearts again and trust in the divine plan of the Lord of intimacy and communion and connection with one another, then the Lord will bless us profoundly with friendships that are closer and safer than we could have ever imagined. And they will be imperfect, because the only perfect friendship is one with Christ. But yet that doesn't mean that they can't be good and holy.
Yes. So moving here, you've been here, we just talked about it, almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked up and left family and friends. And being a native Nashvillean, I'm surrounded either by family or friends, people that I've known my whole life. For somebody new moving in, or even somebody who feels like they don't have a lot of friends, they don't have many people in their circle, when you got here, what were some of the ways that you reached out to start building your friends, to build that community?
Sure. I would say three ways. The first way is I joined the motherhood ministry at my church and met beautiful people there. The second way is I went on a women's retreat, and I was just blessed beyond measure to sit down in like the most significant, connected, small group of my life. That doesn't always happen on every retreat. I do retreat work. I facilitate retreats, so I know that. It's just God blessed me profoundly that day with five women that we still gather and are close. And then the other way was I joined the Franklin YMCA. No joke. And just met beautiful people like this woman, Vanny, who I just love. And it was so interesting because even in some of the workout classes, there are people there from my church and just from my community, moms from the school. And so I would say that's probably the three most significant ways, as well as reaching out to my neighbors. Like, we dropped things off in their mailboxes. We have invited everybody over to our home. And I want to encourage that to everybody, regardless if you're new or not, and especially after the pandemic. I read a poem once and I wish I could find it and I knew what it is. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, if you could please reach out to me and share it with me. But it basically was saying that when you open your home, you're opening your heart to those people, to those souls. And I think like communion at church, breaking bread, the body of Christ, when we break bread together in our home, we're truly building community. So we do that intentionally. We invite people over to build relationship. And that's been incredibly helpful. Just to sit around the table and break bread and laugh and tear up about things or just whatever's going on in everybody's lives.
As you look back, being in midlife, you can look back. Was there something that you went through that helped your faith to grow the most?
Sure, it's really intense. Get ready, everybody. This is Mama's in spirit style. So when I was in my late 20s, Brian and I had adopted, like I said, our two oldest children, and they were small at the time. Like, they were probably 5 and 8 or 6 and 9, like very small children. And Brian was sick. He was really sick. And this was the first time he was sick when he said to me, "Lindy, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it this time." And so even though in a way he had seemed sicker other times, that was the first time he had ever expressed that vulnerability. And you can imagine how it struck my heart. And so we ended up calling one of his closest friends over. I spent some time with a friend, and then Brian went to sleep. And I was up by myself. I'd put the children to sleep, so they were sleeping as well. And I was sitting in my living room on the couch across from a leather chair that I still have to this day. And I imagined Christ across from me, and I knew that Christ was there. I sensed the presence of Christ. And Christ knew my heart. Like, a lot of times for prayer in me, I feel like God already knows all the things. Like, God is journeying every moment of every day with me. And so it's not like me spilling all the things from my heart in that moment. Like, God is already with me and with me in my heart. And this is what I heard Christ say to me in that moment. "Lindy, I'm with you now. I'll be with you in the moment Brian is to pass, and I will be with you after." And what that taught me is that there would always be love in my life. God is love. God is love itself. It says that in 1 John. And I believe that fully and completely. Anytime we choose to love or say yes to love, that's saying yes to the Lord. And so what I knew in that moment is that I could lose my husband, but I may not lose my husband, living with ambiguity. Yet God would always provide God's self. God would always provide me with love. Even if my life didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, or the way that I would try to control it, like, if I could just be detached from the outcome and be open to God within my life, God showing God's self within my life would be filled with the fullness of love. And that did not mean romantic love. That didn't mean that if something happened to Brian, I'd ever get married again. Or like, it had nothing to do with that romantic love. It had to do with the completeness of love, of agape love, of divine love. And so that changed me to really be open to all the ways, like in Ignatian spirituality, we talk about finding God in all things, like all the ways God would show God's self and show love to me in my life. And that is the predominant way that I have lived my life ever since. And I think that is how God has graced and blessed me with joy, even in very difficult circumstances, because I know God is there and that God is providing love, and God will continue to always give that grace-filled provision.
That's beautiful, because you were at a crossroads when Brian shared that with you. You could have gone down another road, another path of fear and worry, and this isn't fair, and why me, Lord? But you chose the path to take it to Christ. Our fears and our worries, we can take those to Christ. But instead of going that way, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to picture Jesus across from me.
Yes. And thank you for pointing out how grace-filled that God blessed me to be in that moment, because there were many moments before I wasn't like that.
Sure.
And I think that's really important for everyone to know too. The first time that Brian got really, really sick that I didn't know if he was going to make it, I surrendered my heart and soul so purely to the Lord. The second time I was very angry and I pulled away, and that did nothing for me. Like anger breeds anger. Isolation breeds isolation. Like it did nothing for me. So I learned a lot from it. And so praise God, by the time this third time came around, and also other things that I had read and other ways that people had loved into me. I also read a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, that was extremely helpful to me. If anybody's really struggling with how you envision God, if you're facing a tragedy in your life, very, very helpful read for me. So I think that in my humanness, which I'm so human, like I've done all the things. It's just that's clearly where the fruit is, because God's where the fruit is.
Right.
And praise God that was in my late 20s, because there was much to come.
Right.
And that has helped me to navigate all the things since.
And it doesn't make the situations go away. It doesn't mean there aren't more trials or difficulties, but you just face them with a sense of peace in your heart instead of that worry and fear.
Yes, and knowing that I have no control over any of these right. outcomes. And so it's not like I'm along for the ride. It's that, do I choose to love myself? And do I choose to open my heart time and time again, even with my own weaknesses and the ways that I uniquely try to guard my heart or anything else? Like, how does God help me and grace me to reopen to the gift of his love time and time again?
Amen. So as we wrap up today, tell us a little bit about Mamas in Spirit. What is your goal for Mamas in Spirit?
I don't really have a goal for it. I started it from a whisper of God into my heart. I actually, speaking of Catholic moms in the middle, I have five girlfriends that I would call the Fab Five that I was praying with many, many years ago, and great role models. And they were all older than me and middle-aged, and now I have joined them. And so their living witness and testimony of how to live made such an imprint on my heart and my life. And one of them ended up passing away. And that's the first person I recorded with, Carolyn Henry Druffel. And she was just incredibly profoundly prayerful and trusting in the Lord. She said to the Lord in adoration, "Lord, you have given me life. I give it back to you. Do with it what you will." While she was facing stage 4 cancer, which she eventually passed away from. And so really, when I created Mamas in Spirit, it was a yes to God to have testimony and heartfelt conversation, living witness to God's wondrous works in the world in a podcast, heartfelt conversation. So much like you were talking about, Jenny, that women know that they're not alone, because I had a shift when I went on this Women's Cornerstone retreat, probably in my 30s, where I heard all this testimony and witness from all these women from all these very difficult situations that were very different than mine, but that taught me we all have things. Like, we all face very difficult things at some point, if not often in our lifetimes. And we're all trying to navigate all the things, like you were talking about, marriage and raising children and adult children and transitioning children into adulthood and whatnot. So we're all going through these things together. So Mamas in Spirit are witness talks. It's a mini retreat and a podcast, and women and some men too share their witness and testimony to how God has converted their hearts and transformed their life, usually through trial, because of the blessings that come when we're open to the Lord, when we're struggling and when we go through things that are really, really difficult. And so basically you can go to mamasinspirit.com and you can see how there's all these people who have given testimony in very difficult situations, like with addiction, whether it's their own or spouses or a child, or with infidelity or with infertility, or there have been people on who have been in foster care as children, or who have been homeless or trafficked, or like all different kinds of things. And also just people struggling with insecurity, or just all the normal things that we're talking about in life.
And what they ultimately show cumulatively together is that with God, all things truly are possible.
One of the things that I do is I equip and encourage women to magnify Christ in their life. And women want to know, how can I share my faith with others? And it's very simple, but it's also very vulnerable to simply share your testimony. Because so many times our testimonies are wrapped up in pain and suffering. And it's like the parts of our lives that we don't always share, but it's the parts of our lives that have helped us grow, have helped our faith grow. And it's that part of our life that when others see it, that it strengthens them for their faith journey. And so that's what makes your podcast so beautiful, is that it's people sharing their heartfelt stories about some of the darkest times in their lives, but how God showed up.
Yes, exactly. I had some girlfriends come over and I practiced with them before, and I've shared stories from my podcasts in my talks. And they're like, well, that's great, but you need to share your story. So I literally do the same. Like, I share my own witness and testimony when I give talks. And it also helps me because I understand the vulnerability in it, because that's what I do too.
Mm-hmm. And as I work with moms who are empty nesters, they kind of run the gamut of feelings. Like, they're excited about this new opportunity for their children, but yet there's this loss, there's a grieving process, there's a fear, did I teach them everything that they needed to know before they went off on their own? And you can just see, like, the weight fall off of them when they begin to understand, you know what? A lot of moms feel this way. You're not the only mom who's grieving. Like, it seems like, why would I grieve this? Or, you know, why do I have all these fears? So knowing that other people have been where maybe you are, that they've come through it on the other side, is so comforting and encouraging.
Yes, I appreciate you saying that. And you're speaking to my heart, because our second child just transitioned into independent living. And she is our first child that's transitioning into independent living without any full-time support. Our son literally has 24/7 supervision. And oh my goodness, like, it's still new. So I'm still processing and praying and all the things, but I really appreciate what you're saying. It's very encouraging to my heart. And it's always good to know that we are not alone and that we are in this together as sisters in Christ.
Amen. Yes. Lindy, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, you're such a blessing.
Would you be willing to close us in prayer?
Oh, I'd be honored to close us in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dearest Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for all the ways that you pour into us and that you bring us together as sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that any way in our hearts that we do not see your divine model, that we're meant to be like Mary and Elizabeth and have just such love and joy and intimacy and closeness in you, that you would wash that away and you would just unite us so fully. And that anyone listening, wherever she is, that she knows that she is not alone. She is never alone because you are with her. And also because there are so many beautiful women in the world that want to walk and journey with her. We thank you for the blessing of this day and the gift of life. We pray for our children. We pray for our marriages. And Lord, we just pray to glorify you every day and to choose to love you with all of our hearts and all of our souls. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lindy, thank you again for being with me.
Thank you.
All right, friends, I will put a link to Lindy's podcast in the show notes, so be sure to go there and check it out. Until we meet again next week, go out and magnify Christ in your little corner of the world. God bless.